It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I am excited. I was just talking to the boys during the break. 332-3776 is our phone number. We were talking about this in the IDOT bullpen as well. And I'm glad they remind you of this because with the weather getting warm, I see more bikers on the streets. I'm talking about motorcycles. And IDOT reminds you to start seeing motorcycles. Motorcycle safety is everyone's responsibility. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. So the Cubs showed me something, okay? I still don't believe in the big picture rotation. I don't believe that their rotation is good enough to do really anything. They can improve that. They could buy. It would be nice if Yu Darvish was on this team. But again, I don't. It's just like why I do believe in the White Sox. Because every day, no matter the injury, they got another quality starter who could go seven innings and pitch really, really well.
Yep.
But what they did after losing 4 out of 5 to start this road trip, and the Padres had a lot to prove. We were just talking about this with the White Sox, that the Padres got swept at Wrigley, and they drew first blood in this series. And the Cubs were able to find ways to win these last two games. Patrick Wisdom, it's an incredible story. It really is. Like, if you haven't seen what Patrick Wisdom has done, it is very Mercedes-like. And you could even make an argument, and he's got more home runs than Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make this a Cubs versus Sox thing, but just to put it into context, like a guy who was getting his own sandwich, your main Mercedes was the AL player of the month for the month of April. Patrick Wisdom is having that kind of an impact in the short term. How long it's going to last? I don't know. Fantastic story, though.
It is. You got two fantastic starts from your rotation as well. Davies was excellent, and then Jake battled.
Jake did against
the Padres' best two pitchers.
And I've been worried about Jake lately. I've been worried about Jake. I'm not talking about the vaccine either and Jeff Garland. And that made news. It was on TMZ. And by the way, what Jeff Garland said on the show yesterday was basically just an...
The competitive advantage comment was similar to what Jed had said.
Right. It was less politically correct the way he put it.
Right.
But it was the exact same thing that Jed said, that he was disappointed with the team, that they're not at 85%, and that there's no doubt in his mind that if they're over 85%, they do get a competitive advantage. So that's just a side note. I don't want to get into that because the Twitter feed is crazy. When I just retweet the TMZ story about Jeff and what he said.
You know what you can do, right? It's great. You can retweet it. And
you can
then
limit
the
replies.
You can mute the conversation.
I don't care. I like to see what people say.
You
don't
know what the bots have to say today?
No. Is it bots? Are they bots? How do I know if they're bots, though?
How many numbers do they have after the name? Is it Sam66924643
Yeah, there's a few of those.
It's probably a bot.
Who cares?
Like someone said, why? Like, and Waddle, you're probably going to look at me and say, why are you even bringing this up? Well, they didn't ask Cutler about vaccines. We didn't ask Jeff Garland about vaccines.
No, that was Jeff. That was Jeff.
Yeah, offering. Like, I mean, like if Jay wants to talk about that when he's on the show, talk about it. Yeah. I got the vaccine. Waddle got the vaccine. Abdallah got the vaccine. Black got the vaccine. We think everyone should get the vaccine. It's your body. You do you.
I'm going to follow my doctor's orders, not, you know.
I find no win for me wagging the finger.
I'm not wagging the finger.
I would encourage everyone to get it.
Double shots. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Tommy, two shots.
Sylvie, two shots all along.
You do what you want to do. I'm going to follow the instructions of the people that I follow instructions from.
You guys should have seen the Moderna getting a workout last weekend in Las Vegas.
Good.
It was in the gym.
Man. That double Moderna. Let's go.
I have testing this thing, and I feel great about it after what I've put it through. And I'm living life again, and I'm getting fat and happy. Literally, I'm getting fat.
Yeah.
By the way,
you've always been happy.
A trainer reached out to me, guys, after last week, me talking about getting fat, and he wants to train me. And I'm like, I know what I need to do.
I think you should allow him to train you.
Well, I need to eat less. I don't need to really. I work out enough.
Invite him over. Maybe he could stay with you and he can portion your meals.
I'm not trying to judge here. I mean, glass houses and all whatnot. But you do eat like every break.
I do. I'm a hungry man.
You eat like every
break. I'm hungry. I'm a hungry man.
Those old TV dinners.
Yeah, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. TV dinners with a brownie.
They'll tell you that you're better off eating five or six smaller meals versus sitting down and eating for an hour straight.
Sylvie's not eating crap during these. He's eating avocados, some cashews, some almonds,
At some point, you got to film the eating process, too. He's one of these guys that eats his blueberries, this giant tin of blueberries. One at a time. One at a time.
But
one at
fast,
a time.
At a fast
one
at a time. Pace,
one at
yeah.
a time. One at a time. One at a time. He eats his nuts that way, too. It's never a big handful of nuts. It's one nut at a time.
How many nuts can I fit in a hand?
Tell me.
That's coming back. I do it to myself, Black,
phrasing,
all the time.
Phrasing.
They're your nuts in your hands. You know, you shovel them in as...
At least two.
However you want.
Waddle brings up a good point. Why?
Why what?
Like, what's the thought process between the one nut at a time?
I don't have a thought process. It's just me reacting. You know what I mean?
I just wanted to know. I'm curious. I see it every day as well. And I was like,
I take a hand. Like, I'm a pig. I'm a quirky guy.
Admittedly, that's just the way I do it, and I don't put much thought to it.
It's like an assembly line. He's like at a Ford plant putting the same screw in the same
I have a commercial break to get it in on, and I'm doing it fast.
Phrasing.
And I like it to last longer, so I don't put like a handful in at a time, because then the next thing you know,
it's over.
Yeah.
You want your nuts to last longer.
There you go.
It's the same calorie content.
I like ESPN.
I like to enjoy
the meal. I do.
You'd like for it to last like 30 minutes instead of 5 minutes?
I do.
Okay?
That's
fair. To each their own.
It's sort of like when you want to leave
a damn baseball game with your family.
I know.
You should be able to go whenever you want instead of following your rules because you're scarred.
I'm going to play that from Carmen coming up at 3:15. Of course, he took the truth and he totally twisted it and he conveniently left out a lot today, too. Yeah. And that Meller just like... who's the dog that goes, that's right, Butch. Yeah. That's right, Butch.
Hey, Spike.
He's running down the street with the bulldog and the little dog jumping over the bulldog as they walk down the street.
This guy to be creating douche of the week or douche of the day, whatever it's called.
Who's the douche?
I mean, I think Meller, was it his idea or Carmen's idea? Did Meller come up with it? The first time
I heard it was when Meller was sitting in for Yurko and it was about... parking garage etiquette. That's when I first heard.
Meller came up with
who's the douche
that when he was looking in the mirror one day.
Wow.
That's what he did.
Wow.
He's like, who's the biggest douche here who's not paying off?
Wow.
I'm the fantasy football commissioner. I'm the station's fantasy expert. I haven't paid guys in 6 freaking months. I want to come up with something that would properly describe what I am at the station. Oh, yeah, we should do a segment called Who's the Douche? Because I'm the biggest douche here currently.
Who's the douche?
Bag alert. Is there a bag alert?
Bag alert.
Oh, boy.
So.
Yeah.
So let's play Carmen now while we're in it. All right, we're already here. So I said Carmen left the Sox game. Then we'll get into
Major
more.
Bag alert.
They went after me today, and I love Carm. Carm and I have a great relationship. He totally twists. I did not say he shouldn't leave the game early. I didn't say that. I know what it's like to have kids. You have waited 4 years for your team to be good, and now that they're good, you're giving up on them in the top of the 7th inning. Okay, fine. You want to play that? You're entitled to leave, right? There's only 14,000 people there. It is easy out, no matter when you leave.
Here come the cheap shots, sir, one after the other. Sort of like you sticking blueberries in your mouth. 1, 2, 3, 4.
My only thing was, as a kid who was scarred by my mom leaving games early many times, and I told you about the camp incident. We had to leave the game, and there were fireworks going off on the south side. My mom would conveniently take me home in the 7th inning when the game hasn't been decided. We got to beat the traffic. The L's going to be long. The line in the L. We got to have dinner. Your dad's going to want dinner. All that stuff I've been scarred by. So I just said to Carmen, you left in the top of the 7th. why wouldn't you just wait for the bottom of the seventh? That's when Vaughn hit the home run. You could have showed the kids the fireworks.
And he said because my daughter wanted to leave in the fourth inning, and
why didn't you leave in the fourth?
I don't know.
If you're doing it by the kids, then why didn't you leave in the fourth? So my point is, you stayed till the seventh. Let your team bat in the seventh. Let the kids see the fireworks and see a home run. That's it. Just give the home team at bats. So this was Carmen going after me today.
Now, and the other douche on the station right now is Silverman. I don't know why he's so salty the last couple of days. And he's yelling at the Bears yesterday. I mean, because they didn't answer his question. I mean, he was on the Zoom call. He starts this tirade. I thought it was over and done after Crosstalk Unhinged. By the way, the latest one's up. Our page, yeah. Waddle and Sylvie's page, ESPN Chicago app. Great stuff yesterday for the week. And I thought we'd already covered it. And then he's killing me on his show yesterday because I left the White Sox game in the seventh inning. I wasn't with my buddies. I had my 7-year-old daughter.
Children.
And 2 9-year-old boys.
Yeah.
It was a weeknight. It was no school, right?
But the
kids have stuff in the morning. They've got activities, practice.
They've got activities.
They've got camp.
Activities.
We don't have full-time nannies at my house. I'm sorry.
Neither do I. We have to get the kids up in the morning and going.
Shot across the bow.
We don't take my mother-in-law everywhere with the kids so she can watch them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what, like, is he being serious? You don't leave? First of all, this is a guy that left a Bulls playoff game when he was like 30 with no kids.
It's 2005.
And he left the Bulls playoff game early. He's giving me etiquette on when it's okay to leave a game.
Boy.
Well, when you're with children under 10.
What a douche.
Yeah, I mean,
who's the douche?
There's no etiquette on when you leave. I didn't leave in the fourth inning. It was almost 10 o'clock at night. Kids still have to go to bed and get up to do
they
stuff
do.
In
They've
the morning.
Got activities.
Our kids do things during the day. Like, I don't know.
I did hear a little of his rant. I don't know if it was a rant, but when he was talking yesterday about it, he said that you should have at least stayed for the home team seventh inning.
I shouldn't have anything.
He set a time.
I had a 7-year-old and 2 9-year-olds.
The man set a time.
The game, 10 o'clock,
we got to go.
Rodon labored a little. Battled his ass off, but labored. It was a long game. It was almost 10 o'clock. It was time to go.
It's time to go.
It's called being a parent.
You're being a parent.
Again, we don't bring help
Listen
with us.
Listen to the parents.
Like, I had the parents.
Right. You have the kids with you.
Yes, and it was time to go.
You don't have an au pair.
No.
No, there's no au pair.
So
there. There's not a young girl from Sweden. You are not Jesper Parnevik.
No.
No.
You better find a different battle, pal.
Yeah.
Because you're out of your mind.
I mean, what a bag.
Major bag alert. There's no...
It was very entertaining.
It was good.
I got crushed in that segment. I do believe that for a friend, that for someone who stood up for me in my wedding, when you go to the mother-in-law, that's a kick to the you know what.
He kicks some sand on you.
Okay, my mother-in-law lives in Michigan, and when Carmen invited us to go to his house in October for the first time that I saw him and Danny for years, the kids were all there. My mother-in-law was in town. When she doesn't get to see the kids every day, she doesn't live in town. So she likes to be a part of the activities, whatever we do. If we go to the park, she likes to go to the park. She's with her grandkids. So she went to Carmen's house. This isn't an au pair or a full-time nanny. Carmen, I'm disappointed in you as a friend that you bring up the mother-in-law. That's a low blow right there. That's a low blow. Did you hear?
Your mother-in-law's invited to our Super Bowl party whenever she wants to come.
You.
She's a lovely woman. And your mom's invited as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
And your kids
She'll
are invited.
Early. My mom will leave early in the third quarter. And then the best part of that whole segment, I don't know if you heard, Merck said something about potty training a dog.
I did not hear that part.
Wait till you hear what he, I'll just repeat what he said. And then I want to get into the party on the north side, quote, in Wrigleyville this weekend for the Cubs. It's going to be a sight to behold. All that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, welcome to everyone listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Whether you're stuck in traffic is back along all of our highways here in the Chicago area, or you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Another great way. Not only can you listen to the show, you can watch us in the First Midwest Bank studio. Good to see DraftKings, the Casino Queen Sportsbook, sponsoring the Twitch chat. And make sure you follow our station as well. Promo code WMVP for DraftKings. Nick Madrigal out for at least 2 months. He's on the 60-day IL. He tore his hamstring. There is a possibility he misses the whole season. Listen to Rick Hahn here just moments ago.
We are placing Nick Madrigal on the 60-day IL due to a proximal tear of his right hamstring. At this point, we are still exploring options, and our doctors are talking to different specialists about the treatment protocol, which could potentially include season-ending surgery, or at the other extreme, may be simply a matter of rest and rehabilitation as the hamstring heals. Regardless of which path we're on, he'll be inactive for a minimum of 6 weeks, thus the 60-day IL placement. To take Nick's spot on the active roster, we are selecting the contract of outfielder Brian Goodwin from AAA Charlotte. He'll be in uniform tonight. Obviously, the thought process behind that is providing us with another outfielder who can play all three positions, with the expectation that Lurie Garcia, for the time being, will be in the second base mix with Danny Mendick.
And Mendick's playing second base tonight. But again, like, it's an interesting scenario. It's a crappy scenario, but like, that's a wide range too. Like, hey, rest and rehab, and maybe he comes back, or if he undergoes surgery, he's out for the year. But there may be a chance he returns. There may be a chance Robert returns.
Similar,
there may be a
Robert
chance that Aloy. Are they the same thing?
Well, no, but I mean, like, Robert had the same thing in terms of we could either do the surgery or let it heal, but the same time frame would probably be in play for his return. The difference here is that I believe if Madrigal has the surgery, there will be no return in 2021.
Right. And then what happens if he rests and rehabs, and then, you know, you do damage to it, and then you ultimately have to have surgery? I'm sure that's a consideration, too.
I think all of it's a consideration. I don't think there's any guarantees that any of these guys will come back. The hope is there, but I don't think you can guarantee that at some point you'll get any of them back.
Now, I know they have good utility players. Like, we always talk about the Cubs guys and how they've stepped up. Jake Lamb's been good, and Lurie Garcia, as you just heard with Rick Hahn, can play a bunch of different positions. And finally, Adam Engel is back now to play some of the outfield. But I mean, if you're Rick Hahn, all the conversation in this town has been about the Cubs and what they do at the deadline. Like, you don't need starting pitching, all right? So that's a good spot to be in at the deadline. You have a surplus of starting pitching, and with that, you can always win. You do need some bullpen help, but what are you doing position player-wise? Like, are you just looking for another utility guy who could start? Someone in the Twitch chat said, hey, do you go to your division rival, Kansas City Royals, and say Whit Merrifield, the guy who's been mentioned in this town before on the other side of town? Do you go after Whit Merrifield, and do you have him play second base for you? And if Madrigal comes back, so be it. You figure stuff out then. But are you looking for starters? Are you looking to make a big trade? Or are you looking, time's on your side too.
Yeah, I think you're open to everything. I do. I think that you consider it all. But you have a World Series caliber starting rotation. And again, you could go one of two ways. You could say they will keep us afloat till we get our guys back. Or you could say, I can't guarantee myself that any of these guys are coming back, and I can't waste this rotation. Next year, Lance Lynn is a free agent. Carlos Rodon is a free agent. Like, tomorrow is promised to nobody. That rotation is World Series capable. I would think that everything is on the table, and you don't look past 2021. You look at what's in the here and the now.
Eric Ostrowski pointed this out to us. He's cutting up the Hahn right now. And here's something. A lot of leg injuries, right, for the White Sox? So Rick Hahn was asked on the Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Like, can you explain all of these leg injuries, these muscle injuries that Sox players have faced so far here in the season?
We don't have any conclusions yet, Vinny, but it's an extremely fair question and one that, quite frankly, we're spending a lot of time on internally. You know, you do, out of fairness, it's important to note that this is, we've seen an increase of such injuries throughout the game. It's not just a White Sox problem per se. There also is the element of you know, bad luck or bad cluster luck of these things piling on top of each other. Those may be the explanations, but quite frankly, neither of them are particularly satisfying to us internally. Had numerous conversations on this topic with Kenny, with Jerry with both of us, with our sports performance people in different fields, both internally and externally, to try to get to some sort of explanation. We're not there yet in terms of a conclusion, and there are some non-White Sox related potential explanations in the end. But it's a fair question and one that, you know, troubles all of us here, and one that we're eager to find a solution to.
What does that mean, non-White Sox related issues?
Is he pointing to the 60 game schedule last summer and the quick turnaround?
He's saying that has caused
the way players train these days differently.
Hamstring's different than a hip. What Robert did, I don't think you could just draw a straight line to what happened. Right. Here to Madrigal.
So you're going through, Kopech has a hamstring, right?
He does, yes.
And then Adam Engel had a hamstring, I believe. What did Tim Anderson have? He had something to his leg as well. He went on the IL, didn't he? Madrigal now.
Loy had a different injury. It was upper body. It was a pec, right? Wasn't it a pec?
It was either a pec or a bicep or something like that. Yeah, it's upper body. But I like that Rick Hahn wasn't like, what are you saying? Like, you know, right. Well, this isn't an our problem. He is open. That's why Rick Hahn's one of the best GMs. That, look, they've got a cluster of injuries, as he put it. Let's look into it. I heard DJ talking about a month ago, driving in, I think they were playing the Cardinals, was talking about another team. And they had a bunch of guys on the
obliques.
IL.
There are a lot of obliques.
And DJ was saying, look, if I'm that team, I'm really doing some research. The Bears had an issue several years ago. Can we play the Ozzy thing too? This was Ozzy. I mean, it's interesting, again, on the way today's players train. They train year-round. They get stronger. They get bigger. And guys like Tom Brady, kind of, it's the opposite of that, where
flexibility is the most important thing for Tom Brady.
And Ozzy kind of pointed out, like, these players are built differently than they were in the 80s. Take a listen.
When you're fat, you don't pull anything. Yeah? When you're fat, you don't pull anything. Make a cheeseburger there.
So you're recommending everyone get fat.
I don't see no fat guy with bad hamstrings. I said good looking man with a tight uniform. Hauling everywhere, like, yes, I play the game, brother. I never pull a hamstring. I can play every day.
But you weren't fat.
But while coming from Venezuela, I know I wasn't eating too well.
Okay.
But look at me now.
He was rubbing his belly.
Yeah, I've seen fat people pull hamstrings as well. I mean, so, like, I don't think that thin guys have cornered the market on pulled hamstrings. Look, I say this to you every day that we talk about anything fitness-wise. If I could go back in time, the one thing I would change about the way I trained was I would stretch more. Flexibility meant more than building muscle mass. Especially for an extended period of time over a long season, you need to have that flexibility. Some guys are just tightly wound.
But it seems like more and more guys are tightly wound now. You know what I mean? And that's the issue. Are they training? Is all this excessive training actually hurting some guys? You know, because they are more muscular than they are before. And like Tom Brady, you look at Tom Brady with his shirt off and you're like, that dude is the GOAT. Like Danny sent us a picture a couple weeks ago of Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii saying, and he sent it to Carmen and me. He goes, Aaron Rodgers has a body like Sylvie. He's like, but again.
Do you do a lot of shirtless activity around Danny? How does he know?
No, we've been at your pool before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the point is they don't look like ultra athletes, but they perform like ultra athletes. And maybe, again, do you need to get so bulked up? Do you need to work out?
I don't know. I think it would be premature to connect any dots, but I'm with you. I like what Rick Hahn is saying. We're going to look into it. I mean, we're not going to ignore
this. He's not
in
denial. Yeah.
The Twitchers want you guys to address, is it possibly PEDs that the players are now using at a different level that baseball can't keep up with? I'm assuming I've seen a bunch of people in the Twitch chat in the last couple of minutes say, soft muscle injuries, something has to do with PEDs, and there's something going on.
Well,
there.
I would say this. I'm no doctor, and again, this is a good time to talk to Yurko because he's got an unusual amount of knowledge when it comes to stuff like this. Not
the
steroid
stuff.
Should
we wake him up from his nap?
But the physical, the injury stuff. I would say this. I wouldn't rule anything out. I also wouldn't point the finger at anybody. I think that when you, again, my lack of medical knowledge would lead me to not know specifically the problem, but I could say what a lot of people had trouble with in the steroid era, your muscles got too big, and what ended up happening is you started to have joint injuries and tendon injuries because your tendons couldn't handle the muscle mass. It wasn't natural. It wasn't necessarily tons of hamstring pulls or quad pulls or stuff like that. It was other stuff.
But my question is, are they working out not with baseball activities, but more like with those weights?
I don't know what these guys are doing in the offseason in terms of working out.
Have you seen Nick Madrigal? You think he's
he doesn't.
He's putting up numbers in the gym? I mean, come on.
I've never seen Nick Madrigal like in tight-fitting clothing,
he looks like.
In short, what do you mean in shorts?
This is a leg injury. You don't like some guys have big legs or they've worked their leg guys.
Is Nick Madrigal a muscle bound small guy or is he just kind of a normal bodied small
looks
guy?
Like a normal looking.
It's hard
dude.
To tell with baseball unis on some.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's. When we come back, I want to replay that, Chris. What we just heard again, and I want to zero in on what Rick Hahn said about non-White Sox things. And what should the White Sox do? All right, let's project ahead here 7 weeks. At the deadline, how big of a position player? We know they need bullpen help. How big of a position player should they go after? Second base, left field, center field. Adam Eaton's not very good. 332-3776.